Good morning. It's the 27th of September. Our New Testament reading today is Luke chapter 20. Once again, I'm reading from Brother Melva Purkis. I read, "For the first time, Jesus confronted his enemies with the fact of their conspiracy against his life. In the parable of the wicked husbandman, he showed them this coming rejection in the wider perspective of the purpose of God. He came as the Son of God, in direct line with the prophets sent by his Father to his people down the centuries, seeking the legitimate fruits of his vineyard. In the true character of their faithless ancestors, the present husbandmen were in no mood to reverence the Son. As long as they could pay lip service to God and enjoy the fruits of the vineyard themselves, they were content. Any attempt to change these favourable conditions, from whatever source it might come, must be effectively suppressed. This man had come with formidable claims. He had done many wonderful works, but he was contesting their power and authority. He must go. They had made Beelzebub serve their purpose in dismissing his miracles. It remained now for them to break his hold over the people and put him out of the way." Such was the power of Christ's teaching that as he unfolded the parable to them, they were visibly impressed. They found themselves reluctantly, yet spontaneously, answering the question he put to them. "When the Lord of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" Their answer came, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons." Without hesitation, Jesus brought home the indictment with deadly precision, leaving them condemned by their own judgment. "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Not since the prophet Nathan had pointed an accusing finger at David, condemning him with the dramatic revelation, "Thou art the man," had men stood so nakedly self-confessed, as did these rulers of Israel in the temple on this third morning of the Passover week. Unhappily, they had none of the humility and contrition of David, and their reaction was, in its way, as characteristic as his. They sought to lay hands on him, but feared the people. It was open warfare now. There could be no retreat. It had to be fought out until victory was achieved by one side or the other. So far, there could be no doubt which way the battle swayed. The spears of the priests buckled against the breastplate of righteousness. Their duplicity was no match for his simple honesty. He no longer withstood their onslaught. He carried the war relentlessly into their own camp. The time of pleading was over. Now he exposed them before all the people, laying bare the poverty and iniquity that lay beneath those bright robes and pious practices. He told them another parable, that of the king who made a great marriage feast for his son and sent his servants to call the guests. Yet this gracious invitation was rejected. It should not be lightly esteemed, and one who spurns to wear the wedding garment will enjoy neither the richness of the banquet nor the fellowship of the king's son, but will be cast into outer darkness. For, concluded Jesus, in words which rebuke any facile optimism, many are called, but few are chosen. The first phase of the battle was over. The attempt to break Christ's hold over the people had proved an abysmal failure. It had ended in their own disgrace. They knew now that they would have to change the direction of their attack. And so they did. Thank you for listening.